this is the pre Yom HaAtzmaut shiur, and it's a follow up to a pigeon battle. I think I mentioned it, was it on Shabbos HaGadol? I don't remember it anymore. Here it is, I had this very loud altercation with a gentleman on Rehov HaGassim. That's the street I live on in Harlov, Rehov HaGassim. And this fellow was a well-known writer, and he had written an article in Mishpacha magazine, and it was really one of a few series of articles, and the thrust of the article was that there is a problem. There's a problem of emunah, faith in God, in the Orthodox community. And even to the point where he describes a conversation with a kollel fellow, and he says that he's having difficulty really believing in God and all of these things. This to me was shocking. Shocking. You have no idea how shocking. And then in his article, he has, at this point at least, it's one of the ways that he plans on dealing with it, and he says it becomes very, very important that we have to teach our young people to believe the revelation at Mount Sinai, that God appeared to Israel at Mount Sinai. And he quotes a pasuk in which Moshe Rabbeinu says, has any other nation, have you ever heard of any other nation claiming that God came down to them from heaven and gave them Torah? The most significant point for us now is found in the words, was anything like it ever heard of? That is to say, have you, the Jewish people, ever heard of anyone else make such a claim that God revealed himself before an entire nation? Is there any other people on the face of this earth throughout all of history that had the audacity and the gall to say that God appeared to the whole nation? Obviously, why didn't any other nation claim anything of the sort? Because it never happened. If you could fool the whole world all the time, then other nations and other religions would have claimed, what are you talking about? God appeared to us. We were 3 million of us at the foothills of Mount Everest. I don't know. Or the Catskills. That's a better place. Yeah. More Jews in the Catskills than there are at Mount Everest. Nobody ever claimed it. Thousands of years after these words were written, I asked the young man I was conversing with, have you ever encountered a single religion in the world that claims to have been founded as a result of God himself speaking to the nation en masse? Did you ever hear anything of the sort? Christianity doesn't make that claim. Nor does Islam. Nor any of the religions of India, for example. Every religion began with one person who succeeded through his charisma to influence others to follow him. I think 10 years ago, when we were learning the Kuzri of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, there was a year in which I gave Shirin the Kuzri. I think this was the second or third Shir. And that's what Yehuda HaLevi's historic proof that Torah is true, because if you can pull a hoax like that and say there were 3 million people present and heard this God, man or man God, giving us this religion, everybody claimed it. Nobody claims it. Because you can't, it didn't happen. You can only prove it when it's, you can only claim it when it's true. So this is what he's telling this young fellow who's having problems believing in God. So, think about it, I said to him. You know, think about that. You are a first-hand witness to an amazing fact. The question is, how did the Torah know it could state so confidently that no one else would ever make a similar claim? Torah says, you were there, you saw it. Jewish people all received Torah from God. can he come up with any other answer except that the Torah is the direct word of God? The only way that kind of a claim can be made in the Torah is only because it's absolutely true. Alright, okay, he goes on to discuss this, and when I read this, I never get upset, you know, but I did get a little disturbed, and I started writing out a few-page response to this. And it has to go by Yisrael. I don't have to go too far to meet the fellow who writes these articles in Mishpacha, because he lives on my block. He gets milk from the same makolet that I do. So we usually meet at the makolet. And this morning I'm seething burning. I meet him. The Ravashim sent him there, you understand? This was Hashgacha Pratis, that the two of us should meet right there in front of the makolet. So I tell him, Father Rav, Ravashim, I don't understand. You want to teach Emunah to young people, and more than young people, Kolo fellows in our generation, and you start telling them a pasuk in Torah about Maimon HaSina, about Revelation at Sinai. For heaven's sake, just tell this Kolo fellow, open up your eyes and see how many hundreds of Pesukim in Tanakh have been fulfilled before your very eyes. Walk along the Garden Street. You'll see Jews from 50 countries in the world. How did they get here? Because there was a passage in Torah where God said that God is going to bring back your captivity and from all corners of the world are going to come here. You have to give them a philosophical, ontological, cosmological, theological, kashmir proof when the proof is there before your very eyes. Yisrael says it. See, Sadiq and Yaya. Lift up your eyes and look all around. Kulam, Nikbetsu, Fala. They've all gathered and they come to you from all, from the south, from the north, from the east, from the west. Just all over the world right here. What's he doing this? What does he need this room for? And then of course, I made the worst mistake I could ever have. And I told him the measure. The most awesome event in 2,000 years of Jewish history, the establishment of the State of Israel. Every word in that sentence was a terrible mistake. Even the word of. What? Of? Establishment? All of a sudden there's an explosion on the Chol HaGasim. An explosion! And I start hearing Ben-Gurion and Herzl thrown at me. Ben-Gurion, Herzl, Herzl, Ben-Gurion. Herzl, Ben-Gurion. So I try to comment on it. I tell you, I don't know, you may believe that Herzl and Ben-Gurion established the State of Israel. I always believe that it's God who established the State of Israel. And there's a big difference between me and you. Look at that. I see this as the great revelation of God to these people in our generation. And for that matter, in 2,000 years of Jewish history. And he's gone on and on about Herzl and Ben-Gurion. So then I decided I have to aggravate him a little bit. He deserves it now. He earned it fair and square. So I told him, number one, I would have given so much to be the one who established the State of Israel. What a place in history that man has. And second, I told him, here already I was taking the knife, and I was, is anybody else who can tell me who saw so clearly the state of the Jewish people in Europe at the beginning, at the turn of the century, like Herzl? Is there anybody else who not only saw clearly that Jews will not survive in Europe, they have to get out at all costs? And not only did he see it, he went ahead and created a world organization. Who else Hakom, you can't answer the question, but I can answer the question. And here, of course, the knife is going straight for the jugular. In 1905, Rav Kook wrote a letter to the Jews of Europe. We landed here in a shed 2 years ago. Rabotai, boldly the Eretz Yisrael, come to Eretz Yisrael, 1905. He describes the Kishinev program, and he describes what's going to happen. It's not that he brings the Jews over. It's a long, beautiful, powerful letter. Come on. So I asked him, who else saw it so clearly? And then I had a little rachmanis. I didn't tell him the third person who saw it so absolutely clearly. In 1938, Ze'ev Jabotinsky spoke in Warsaw. It was a big event. And he said, get out now while the getting is good, get out! I don't know of anybody else, and I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that people had to see as clearly as these people did. But you can't simply wipe them off the map. They saw clearly, and they took real steps to do something about it. So I told him that to prove that there's a revelation in the world, all that I say is, hey, ER. That was worse. That was worse. By the way, I decided to aggravate him even more, but this is only step one. My car is the only car at present on the Chovagasi with one flag. And we got up, we came out of the house in the morning to come here, so my wife paraphrased the Star Spangled Banner. I hit the horns early night, my flag was still flying on my gun. Now, of course, we ratchet up the pressure, and we put a second flag on the other side. That makes us another two windows, where we put another two flags. But I know that the moment I do that, then if people come around in the middle of the night, they're going to break them off. But I would have made my statement. Okay. I don't understand. The greatest event in 2,000 years of Jewish history. Clearly, the work of God Almighty. How can you just walk around on Yom HaTzmaut with your knees in the ground? And the great absurdity of all. If you say hallelujah, you're not from this project. And if you walk around like it's Tisha B'Av, you're full. It's absurd. It's absurd. And then I told him, you know, to bring him down. I said, I'm going to see the Rebbe Kamenetsky, Zefet Sadeh Levrocha, writes, it's in the Titel Emes Yaakov, that following the Shoah, there was a mass loss of faith by Klal Yisrael. And he says the dirty words, Medinas Yisrael, saved faith by the Jewish people. It took all the sharpness out of the question of where was God at Auschwitz. Now the statement became, well, whatever, he's alive and well in Eretz Yisrael. 3 years after the entire world thinks that the curtain has come down on Jewish history and we're finished, we're done, it's all been done with, the world has gotten rid of us once and for all. The state develops in that field. And not Star State. This is our Baruch Hashem. This is our powerful, strong, healthy state with all its problems. And it has more problems of time than any other state in the world. I always say, what do you think? You think that nationalism
which no one changed the world in the 20th century, was made so that we should have the Chad, the Sri Lanka, and Syria, they were also carved out, these were countries that were carved out in the aftermath of the Second World War. All these are struggling countries now that are rising up against their leaders, their dictators, most probably only to reinstate some worse dictator than before. Meanwhile, of course, the United States of America, you know, it took the greatest country in the world 10 years to find bin Laden, you understand? 10 years to call him back on the scroll. The Dvorah says at the end of the Shira, Dvorah Shira, when she describes the death of Sisera, Yael is the one who killed Sisera with the stake through his head. That's like bin Laden with one bullet to his head. Okay? Cain knew the color of that person. So shall all of your enemies, O God, be brought down. Such shall be your end. For Ohava, those who love God, Kitzeik, Hashemesh, Bivurato, like the sun coming out in all of its brilliance. It's difficult, but sometimes I just go off on tangents. I'm not agreeing with Shulim Boteach today. Do you know how difficult it is to prepare a shiur for this place? I have to go through the whole Jerusalem Post from page 1 until the arts and movies on the last page. There's a shiur there. Today is, we're not happy with the fall of an enemy. He makes a terrible misquote. Really, maybe you'll write the letter to the editor. He says, and by the way, I like him, he's a very bright fellow. But he says, even the Jewish people, when they sang at the sea, God said to them, my creatures are dying. It's not true. The Lord say that as the Egyptians were drowning, Bichu Malachi Hashore Islam Al-Shiva, the angels in heaven wanted to sing the song of praise. And God cut them down and said, Masi, what I told them by one, my heaven were my human beings, I'm drowning in the sea, the Akhenon and the Shiva, and we're singing the song? So they did, but the Jews are. And the song of Moshe and the Jewish people is enshrined in Torah the other. So of course the difference is simple. Jews were being attacked! Jews were the ones who were being saved! Not often! You're not part of this equation here. You didn't suffer. So you know what? Shashti. But my Jewish people are being saved from the clutches of death at the hands of the Egyptians. Of course, they are the ones who are to sin. I said, here it is. I did it again, and I went off on a tangent. And then I don't have a clue. What was I talking about today? 4th of July? What is it? The bottom line is, I'm trying to tell this fellow on the street, the Rehov Agassi in Arnold, I'm trying to tell him that Jewish history for the last 70 years, and more specifically the last 63 years, is the ultimate proof for everybody and anybody that there is a God of Israel. He exists, he's alive, he's pulsating, he's strong, he's Hashgacha Pratis. And I read the newspapers, I read these Hashgacha Pratis stories, and some are very nice, you know, and some of them I had to get to work on time that day, and I was late for the bus. Baruch Hashem, the bus came late. I got out of the bus. Hashgacha Pratis, and he sent it in to the local newspaper, you know, the Hanodia, the Ate, and they got crazy about Yankel made the bus on time. An act of absolute divine intervention. And the greatest act of divine intervention in 2,000 years or more, the establishment of the State of Israel, the growth of this country. You understand? Now, if they'd be living on the American dollar, I think they'd be able to say, Taro on Yom HaZmur better.
just been watching the dollar go down there day by day,
yeah.
And the shepherd understands all the strange things is going up day by day. It's unbelievable, unbelievable. We have a healthy country, a healthy economy. Are there problems here? Every country has problems. America has the biggest problem. They have Obama. This country is a manifestation of the existence of a God of Israel more than any other proof that it could possibly bring. So this is what I'm telling you. What are you going to ask me to? Revelation of Mount Sinai, and who knows what kind of other philosophical proofs you're going to bring. Take a look. And then I tell them what I said to you so often. And what about the Tanaeus? What about the Tanaeus? What about the fact that this country for 1900 years could not sustain a population, and as it comes time for the Jewish people to return, to school becomes a country of Zavas Cholav and Vash? How many times have we gone through Mark Twain's description of Emmett Israel as the dead man's gulch someplace out there, and take a look what's going on over there. Look what's going on over there. Everything you see before your very eyes is the conversion, divine providence. So what do I need? But then I said, we're going to say the ugliest thing of all, but this was said with a great deal of pain. And I'm going to say it. I don't care anymore. That's all I know. For 63 years, you trim the license they gave you, you made fun of Yom HaTzmaut, you found fault all the time, you never saw anything good over there, you started complaining from day one for 63 full years. And I can list each one of the things you complained about. You complained about abortions, you complained about Jesus' brothers, you complained about the army, you complained about Chil Shabbos, you complained, you didn't say a decent word, and you know what you did therefore? You tore away from your own children the greatest proof of the existence of God. And what's happening to you now is an endless all of that. You can't banish God from today, and the future can get away with it, and you have to pay a price for it. How long can you keep it up? And if it's not that, then university students are getting more than the Coral students are getting. They've taken the family allowances and they've dropped it. It's all an attack on Haredi Jews. Attack that's one disease, people attacking your people. What are you talking about? Did you say a good word in 63 years? And then, of course, you have to make a whole silly, nonsensical, idiotic, absurd issue of screaming for the Messiah. What are you talking about? I told you, your kids can go through a whole lifetime saying Mishnayos for the 2 minutes, or saying Tehillim for the 2 minutes, or just doing nothing for the 2 minutes, and never once in their lives have a feeling of pain for the suffering that they are. Never once feel that it needs to be at least close to thinking of a parent that lost a child in the army. You can't say the tefillah of Shalom Chayel Tzad, you can't say the tefillah of Shalom Medinas Yisrael. You rejected everything, you reviled everything, you found fault with everything, and that's the result. How do you know? You think we keep going on for another 70, 80, 90, 100 years? Open up your eyes. There's a Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom is pouring out his chesed to us. Then I switch. I took a different tack. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we just quoted. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that following the Shoah there was a terrible loss of faith by the Jewish people, justifiably so. Nobody has to be the great tzaddik who goes through such
awesome, unprecedented pain and suffering and emerge with faith untainted. You have to be a model for that. You have to be a great chassidish rebbe for that. So, the Rebbe said, what was it that saved faith by the Jewish people? He established within the state of Israel. That's what he said. It's written in the Sefer. I didn't make it up. As I said, if you can save faith by people who came out of the Holocaust, shouldn't it be able to preserve faith by a Ben Torah, by a full of family? Did they go through the horrors of the Holocaust? But you know what? You took that great manifestation of God's presence in our lives and frittered it away. You wasted it! Rabbi Avraham HaKohen Palmzeh HaTzadu Vavacha, who was the great Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Tel Adas, who was my Rebbe, he was the Rebbe of my two older brothers, Aleihem HaShalom, great, great tzaddik. In America they called him the Chofetz Chaim of our generation. No question about it either. I'll tell you another story about him, and go off on a tangent in a moment. But he, the relation of some God is a nice guy, you know. I happened to be 7 years ago in Toronto. I happened to be in Toronto at a time that Rav Palm was visiting Toronto too. He has a son who is a Chof and a Lakewood Minyan in Toronto. On Battersby. And I find out that his Rav is going to be speaking in the afternoon. I was not far from there. I was there. And he said then a shiur that I had once heard on tape from him. And the schus to hear it in the flesh was an awesome experience. I talked to the shiur years ago. I'm not going to go into the shiur now. Maybe we'll leave it for Yom HaTzmaut. The upshot of the shiur was that after every period of great suffering, God pours out his kindness to his people in order to win them back. There are times that they have to suffer, but after that suffering, it's like a father. A father who, after he chastises a child, will then embrace him. And he pointed out four unique and very special periods in history. Periods in which there was suffering, and then you could see there was an outpouring of God's kindness. The fourth period. It's coming to the end of this year, as he says, the fourth period, of course, is after the Shoah, the Hurban of Europe, that the Rebbe Shem poured out his kindness in the establishment of Medinas Yisrael. And he used that word, Medinas Yisrael. His speech was billed as a speech about Chinuch HaTzmoi, the Aguda educational system in this country. I'm listening to this and I can push it through. Here it is a major Hashkata Shia that he said by a major Rashida. And he says that the establishment of the Medinas Yisrael was an outpouring of God's chesed. You know what? If one has been trained otherwise, he can't do that. I saw a number of the people on Sunday, who had been at the Shia. Now, he spoke for half an hour. For 28 minutes, he outlined this pattern in Jewish history. God's outpouring of kindness following a period of suffering. And the fourth one, in our time. And then, 28 minutes into the Shia, 2 minutes ago, he says, I know I was invited to speak about Chinuch HaTzmoni. So he says, you know, Chinuch HaTzmoni is very good. It's very good, and it's worthwhile to support Chinuch HaTzmoi. Chinuch HaTzmoi got about 60 seconds out of that year. The following day, I meet different people who were there, and I say, did you hear what Rav Palm said yesterday? Yeah, Chinuch HaTzmoi is real good. miss the whole point. You're not going to miss the whole point. And this whole point, what are you talking about? The direction square is 3. That's what they've been told for all these years. They couldn't hear it. They didn't hear it. So let me know if we have a grant to come and ask him, okay? Number two, we have Rabbi Ron Pan. And then the third, I told him, because he's yelling at me, this guy's yelling, was a real yelling contest. And I was really the calm one. And I know you're not believing me, but I'm telling you the truth, you know? I'm telling you the truth. The next day was Erev Pesach. That's it. The next day was Erev Pesach. And I went to the Makolah again. I mean, no, I should wash myself before I go to the Makolah, you know. Going to the Makolah to begin to restore the spiritual health. And then I went to the Makolah again, and I meet a fellow who lives on the block who's cleaning his car for Pesach, getting the chametzah, you know. But I have somebody waits for this, you know, I don't know. But anyway, he says to me, Shalom, yesterday in the morning, my wife comes in and she says, come to the window quickly. Come to the window quickly. I came to the window. What I heard going down, going down the road, was a little pitch backing. Why is he yelling at me, Ben-Gurion and Herzl? Why is he yelling that at me? Because they have decided this is an essential part of the Hashkafa. They decided that God does not do great things for his people through those who are not showing the Torah mitzvahs. They could have done. He did a bill, a state. Okay. Actually, can't be. So for that, I quoted to him the Ramesha Feinstein, which I learned with you about three quarters of a year ago, we were talking about the mitzvah of Tomim Tia in Mashal Adecha. You have to be confused with God. Don't ask kashis on God. Don't try and figure out that you've done it better than him. In other words, you have found a Hashiva to establish the state of Israel, and the Hashiva may tell him stay. And since he wills, it will be good. And that's all good. It can't be good. It's got to be all bad. So, here on the second slide, someone going over a bit, number three, Reb Moshe. We're just going to read three lines over here, because the rest of it we are learning. The question that he's dealing with is, Jews who were taken captive in Uganda and Tebbi, and they were saved by soldiers who came there and rescued them. So I think it very quickly. Okay. In the Dvar Yehudi, Shalachta Uganda, when a Dr. Jim was captured, taken to Uganda, and he saw some of the Hayalim Shabarusam, and he was saved by the soldiers who came there. Mistabesh Yeshlach, Shiv Zel, the most gold. You have to consider this a revealed miracle. Keep it better, Hatagoro, Hodya, Absolutely, Tobakasa. In the natural order of things, something, an undertaking, an operation of that sort is a mess. Can't take during the night, 100 soldiers with all their equipment, 2,500 miles into Africa, and they should be able to land and rest. It's a mess going. You know? The Ramesh says it, I trust him. We need the Major to tell us this. Anything that happens in this world comes through God. There's sometimes that God brings bad as well, or he permits it to be. He is the one who strikes, and he is the one who heals. It was part of his plan that they should be captured and taken into captivity there. was the architect of the rescue because he gave those soldiers the courage and the bravery and the intelligence to plan and execute this great undertaking. He caused them to succeed. It's all his work. The Darkei here, the Darkei Hashem is brought to us, the Hanesa, the great patient, many men. I don't know why God brought the Hatzlachot to people who are not Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. I do have an answer for that. I'm afraid to say that. He was looking around for a given year to establish the state. He couldn't find one. But there was a Jew, and there were Jews who had been working years building up the country, coming into this country. And they had the will. They could do it. We don't take chances. If you hear somebody who knows can do the job, that's the one. So then it says, the also the shama adam hitchakein the kushyat ala kamitahu. No human being, no Jew has the right to be wiser than those persons of God. You have to be complete and full of God. You see something that is clearly a mess, the most outstanding event in 2,000 years of Jewish history. And in many ways, it's one of the most outstanding events, world events, in 2,000 years of history, of general history. No other people were able to do what Klal Yisrael has done. No other people has come back from the dead to establish a state, that a strong, powerful state at that. My wife says it's my age. But I read certain articles and I get all choked up. Can you imagine what choked me up last week? There's an article in the Jerusalem Post by the editor, David Horowitz. He was describing some American old man who came here in 1984, and he joined Tzahal, one of these, wasn't a 23-year-old, he was at a place in his 30s, and when he finished his 3-4 month basic training, so it was an announcement that anybody who wants to take a course as a paramedic, so he said, no, I'm here, I'm going to take a course, paramedic. Anyway, they issue kits to everybody, with all sorts of medical equipment. You ready? And it seems there's a bandage, a tourniquet bandage that's used to stop bleeding, and it was from 1942, it said on it. It's 86, 42. And then at another point, he was issued a bandage that said 1938 on it. So this guy decided there's got to be a better way. And I mean, it would have been 10, 15 years until he developed a bandage by far superior to anything in the world. And country after country in the world is making use for their armies with what they call the Israeli bandage. We can't even calculate how many people's lives were saved by the Israeli bandage. And I needed a whole bunch of Kleenex to keep me going. I was just so overwhelmed. And this is only one of thousands of things that Klal Yisrael has done to the world. The people of Israel have done to it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We talked about that once. Yeah, I'm talking to a friend from Toronto. Just came, he's visiting, and he had a problem with his heart. They put in 3 stents, Freyman, the Chayman. You think I know what a stent is? I have a message. But that's 3 stents in it. So I say, do you understand? You know who's keeping your arteries open? You know who's keeping your life every minute?
some Israeli who invented this land. This land is used all over the world. In fact, this country is a Kiddush Hashem of the highest order. But it depends how you look at it. I remember there was a period of many 7 or 8 years that I followed what goes on over here. In the schools, there are a lot of these 1 year programs. These unsuspecting girls or boys that come here for a year of study. So I had a few people brought me tapes either the day before Yom HaTzmaut or Yom HaTzmaut, some hotshot big Baal Hashkacha is going to come in and he's going to tell the girls why we don't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. And there's a pattern. The pattern was the same. It never fails. You find what's wrong in the country that year. Right. There are so many children below the poverty line. It's so bad. How can you say how? Are you crazy? And every year there's something else they found. You can find it every year. He's a prime minister, you understand? Well, now I have him, how can you say how? You know, you have dumpsters there. So that's part of the symbol of finding fault. And David HaMelech was brilliant. We learned the truth of Yerushalayim, Kodim Marichayeho. Look at the good of Yerushalayim, or Bezel. There is so much good in this country. There are so many good people in this country. There are so many good things that are happening over here. The only thing that I agree with in my Mishpacha friend article, and even that I don't agree with. You'll see what I'll tell you about it. He says, I'll go to the end, I capped off my conversation with the young student with the following anecdote. The German king, Frederick the Great, once asked the Marquis Charles de Blois, I've answered correctly, okay. My took French for 5-6 years ago, de Blois. So the German king, Frederick the Great, once asked the Marquis Charles de Blois, can you offer me proof of God's existence? Without hesitating, the Marquis replied, the Jews, your majesty, the Jews. All right. So he wants to know how is it that a college student can't see what this great the Marquis de Blois. So I agree with what he's saying, except when the last time I read it, it was Louis XV who asked Pascal the question. And Pascal said, well, the Jews, your majesty, the Jews. So you know what I say? This story is like a Rebbe's story. You can hear the story said about the Rebbe Melech Lizenz. You can hear it said about the Yid HaKudosh. You can hear it said about the Rabbi Zulchanes, the same story. And they're good stories. And at one point in time, they certainly may have happened to them too. And even if they were, they're not true. They're also great stories. We have had great Jews and did great things. So I disagree with the historic facts of this story. But of course, the existence, the survival of Jewish people throughout history is the greatest proof of the existence of God. More than that, the daily existence of the modern state of Israel with all of the forces in the world that are arrayed and running against her and that are planning against her. And the number of organizations and companies that have dedicated themselves to the task of utterly obliterating and destroying the state, and we keep going from day to day. Every day is a miracle, and that miracle every day is proof positive of the existence of a nation. How is it possible that in our Orthodox community there should be a weakening effect? I can't acknowledge it. It staggers me. I've been walking around thinking about it now for weeks. And when I really get upset about it, I'm going back to the Makolot. So I see we're not there. We'll finish the rest of this on Yom HaTzmaut, but where they learned the first, but most of it we did already. Everything, everything is based on number one. What do you do, number one? Number one is from a classic sefer, Sha'arei Tshuva, written by Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim we're talking about, 12th, 13th century. Says the following, Duda, and you have the translation down at the bottom, Duda, Ki ha-ma'alot ha-elonot, nimtzu ulamu b'mitzvot aseh. The highest virtues by which we should live are spelled out to us through the means of positive commandments. There are positive commandments that express the value system of the Jewish people. Ha-ma'alot ha-elonot, the highest virtues, Kimo, and he begins to list. Ma'alot ha-bechira, the idea that man has free will. All of Torah, everything, the entire awesome structure that is Torah depends on this virtue, on the belief that we have free will. Shenema, u'bachata b'chaim, we're told choose life. So therefore, if it says choose life, you know what that implies? That we do what we will. We have choice, and therefore God can say, choose life. In my love time of Torah, and the great virtue of the study of Torah, Shemana v'idbar Torah, it's a mitzvah saseh, speak in Torah, Torah. In my love lechem b'darkei Hashem, one of the great virtues, going in the ways of God, emulating God, just as He is merciful, you'll be merciful. Just as He is compassionate, you'll be compassionate. The celebration always used to talk about this mitzvah. So, I remember that long time ago, long ago and far away, I came up against somebody who I was convinced was absolutely lying to me, and then confronted, not by me, by somebody else. So he said, the Rambam doesn't say any place that you're not allowed to lie. We're talking about a very big Talmud Chacham. So I went to my guide and mentor, I said, is this possible? Mitvashek, it says in Torah, stay away from falsehood. And then he says, the Chacham doesn't say any place in another life. So my guide and mentor, what's he talking about? The last of the Chacham! One of the three mitzvahs is you should go in the ways of God. Now do all this, I got Torah and it's just like God is the essence of truth. So man also has to be truthful. And the Rambam enunciates the halacha. He doesn't say MS. He just says the general idea. All the responsibility is to emulate God. Let's go. Allah Shemana, as it says, Allah the way God, we should go in God's way. And the Bible says, is it possible to go in the way of God? God is a fire that consumes. How can you go in these ways? So the Bible goes on to explain. You have to emulate what God does. God visits the sick, and He knows He visits the sick. God buries the dead. At the end of time, He buried Moshe Rabbeinu. God clothes the naked. He made clothing for Adam and Chava. You clothe the naked. God provides food for all of mankind. That's what you should do. It's a major, major mitzvah for Allah to be glorified. This is the passage that was created by the Moshe Feinstein. That I would trust in God is complete. Tony T.M. Hashem al-Dakha. Be complete with God. Don't ask master questions on the basis of it. Don't be the one who thinks you could have done it better. Two things now. In verse 2. In my late hit the main big Dulat Hashem, there is the great virtue of meditating, pondering, thinking about God's greatness. Shemona. We are God the High One. You should know today, Bahashi, both of them, and bring it into your heart. Ki Hashem Elohim. We have to know who God is. He's the great power of the whole world. The devil Allah, and David said, Hashem Yishamayim Kushkifal Kneel Adam. God looks from the heavens upon man without a yesh baskil, Dalmesha Kukim. This is somebody intelligent enough who seeks God. Think about God. And then, this is the one that interests me today. Umma'alok and the virtue of Zichron Chasodov with Bonein Behem. Remembering his kindness and thinking about them. Zichron Chasodov. We, as we said earlier, we are living in a period, an epoch in Jewish history, where there was an outpouring of God's kindness to the Jewish people. An outpouring of God's kindness. And we have to remember it, and we have to think about it, and we have to thank Him for it. Zichron Chasodov is done in Ben Shemona. There's a character called Adela. The name of Yadati Yuvaveta. That's the passage upon which Rav Palm established his whole view of Jewish history. Know in your heart that as a man chastises his son, so God chastises you. And then he established as his rule in Jewish history the parallel of this passage. What does a father do after he chastises? He embraces the child. That's what God did after the Shoah. He embraced the Jewish people. The David Amen, David says, V'yidbonim chasdei Hashem. That's in Holu. Holu Hashem ki tov. Ki chas v'chol alev elein, I see your kind of the form of very eye. It said something last year that I think deserves repeating every year. You say Hallel, you find that there are two seemingly distinct parts to Hallel. Hallel is a song of praise and thanksgiving. At the same time, Hallel is also a cry that comes from the very depths of pain and fear. The straits in which I find myself, I call out to God. Subahumi, I am surrounded by all my enemies, and I cry out to God. And then at one point in Hallel, you have the 20 side by side. Zagon, Osa Hashem, Magimot and Israel, this day is a day that was made by God. We will be full of joy and happiness, isn't it? But so we're happy, right? We're happy. Right? Or we're gloomy. What's the next passage? Oh, Hashem, Hoshia, Lama, Baby, Shalom, save us, help us, bring us salvation. Oh, Hashem, you move from one mood to the radically opposite mood, from one passage to the next. So I said the following. I believe it's true. Do you know who can call out to Hashem and say, Oh, Hashem, Hashem, our division, help us? The one who is able to say in the fullness of his personality, Zehayom, Oh, Hashem, I'm giving the list of Adal. If you're able to say, God, we did great things for us. We did awesome things for us. Zehayom, this is the day that God made, I'm giving the list of Adal. If you say that, then God is going to listen when you turn to Him and say, Amar Hashem, redemption, Hoshiyama. But if you walk around and pay ear, with your nose in the ground, you understand? Say Tachman, say Smichus, I don't know, take me there, whatever the heck you want, then I'm afraid to say, you're going to have a difficult time when you cry out to God, Amar Hashem, Hoshiyama. If you recognize God's kindness, and it's unbelievable the kindness that He has done every day here.
is another manifestation of God's existence in this world. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This country is the biggest bone in the throat of the whole world. And yes, we're getting into the dishes. Holy Hashem, he told to learn chaser. That's what the Shari children in the minister. You have to be with the women. You have to think about chaser Hashem. You have to thank him. God Almighty, you have to thank him. He did for us something that he didn't do in 2,000 years. That's our mitzvah next Tuesday. By the way, you can do it every day. Don't wait till Tuesday. We have a responsibility every day. And I once learned with you that great Rashi. Maybe I'll get back to that. I've done lots more too. That every day a person is supposed to see and feel as though God gave him Eretz Yisrael that day. This I once told you is the unknown Rashi. A Rashi that appears right there at the end of Parashat Bo. Nobody knows the Rashi. Go discover the Rashi. And I want to make sure that the whole world knows that Rashi. Every day. Ki ima nidme lecho v'et ha'yom, as I was giving to you every day. So he means, so he said, ha'yom, also Hashem, magdilo yom esen chodom. There's a reverse here. Monday is going to be Yom HaZikaron. And Tuesday is going to be Yom HaTzmud. In a sense, there's a reversal over here. And maybe that's what Jewish history is all about. Jewish history of our day. The Tzara, the Ama Hashem El Shiyama, and in our history it's followed by Zehayom, also Hashem, and Gilad and Mesuchabot, Chag Sameach.